Great. All right. Thanks, Tim, for stepping in for Zane. You know what Zane's doing? He's spending time with his mom. That's a pretty good excuse for missing leading our worship for. Yeah. Thanks, Tim. So, we finished our series of lessons from the book of Joshua, but we're going to start the book of, from 2 Peter, sorry. So we're going to start the book of Judges. But not this week, because we're celebrating moms. And not next week, because I'm going to be preaching in Fresno, and Oscar's going to do a sermon. So in 2 weeks from now, we're going to start the book of Judges. So we did pool night on Friday. That we're not swimming. We're hitting little round balls around with little sticks. And some of us were okay at it. Some of us were, it was fun to watch. We'll just put it that way. Okay. Okay. Then we had Women's Day. We had 10 women go down to Fresno.
That's right.
There's one table worth, and I think that's Jessely in the background. Okay, great. But we also have some pictures of our moms I want to show you. So there is Stephanie with her mom. Do you see any resemblance between Stephanie and her mom? Yeah, I think so. I thought that was Stephanie for a second, and then her little, I don't know, niece or something like that. All right, and then we have Jessely and her mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got to meet her dad this past week. Her dad is a go-getter, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there's Manny. Hi, Manny.
Hey, Manny.
Manny with his mom. And, there's, I guess, our kids with their mom. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's Emma's mom. Look, Emma's a little tiny baby. Emma wanted to share about her mom this morning, but instead she's spending time with her mom. So that's a pretty good reason to not do that. There's me with my mom. I think that's the last picture I ever got with my mom. Yeah. There's Oscar, his mom. And Hanae with her mom. Okay, great. So here we go. We're going to think about moms. You know, we have different holidays. To me, the three most Christian holidays we have are Thanksgiving. That tops my list as the most Christian holiday we have. Easter, all right, that's a pretty good one. I do not put Christmas on the list of Christian holidays, I'm sorry. But to me, Mother's Day, that would be the third most Christian holiday we have. I'm going to read a little poem by William Ross Wallace. I'm not very good at poetry, but I'll do my best. Woman! How divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Natals, I think that's the earth where we were born. That's fancy poetry talk there. Keep the young heart open, always in the breath of God. All two trophies of the ages are from mother loved, impearled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The Bible has a lot of really cool stories about miraculous faith of mothers. Last year we did a sermon titled, thank you, Jan. The second half of the poem. Sorry. I got kind of caught up in the whole emotion of that thing there. Yep. Last year we looked at Mary. Mary, a mother's heart. And she heard from the angel that she was going to be pregnant as a virgin, which meant disgrace, being put away from the family, a life of shame, poverty, and alienation. You know what she said to the angel? She said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. And the angel said in return to her, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Then the year before that, we did a sermon about Hannah. Hannah, a godly mother. She was barren. She had a rival younger wife who was more beautiful than she was and younger. You know how it goes. And on top of that, Penina had several children. And she boasted to Hannah, "I am the favored wife." Hannah prayed for a son. And she promised to devote him to the Lord. That's what godly mothers do. They devote their children to the Lord. And thus Samuel was born. Samuel, the last of the judges. We're going to hit Samuel in a little while here, in a few weeks. Samuel, the one who anointed David, the last of the judges. And God gave Hannah more children. But today we're going to look at a couple of women, a couple of moms that probably we don't think about quite as much. Let's go to 1 Kings 17. So many great moms in the Bible. And a few great moms in the room. Probably nobody's going to say, yeah, I'm as great as Mary. She's pretty special, but we got some pretty great moms here this morning. 1 Kings 17. The widow of Zarephath. All right, let's read about her. Starting in verse 7. This is Elijah. Sometime later, the brook dried up. That's the brook where Elijah was hanging out. Because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home to make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me." I want to stop there. In this story, Elijah is a stand-in, if you will, for the Messiah, because Elijah is a prefigure of the Messiah. I don't have time to explain how that works so much. And Elisha in our next story as well. So figuratively, what she's doing for Elisha, she's doing for the Lord Jesus, figuratively. All right, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." She went away and did as Elijah had told her, verse 15. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Again, think of the spiritual implications of this. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and he finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" And then he said this interesting thing, "Give me your son." That's what God says to mothers. "Give me your son. Give me your daughter." Elijah replied, he took him from her arms, he carried her to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry and the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carrying him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." The woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Yeah. A mom with literally nothing left. But to the man of God, she offers flour and oil. Because God hears the cries of mothers of faith. God sends Elijah to save the widow of Zarephath and her son. God says to the mom and says to all moms here, don't be afraid. Give to the Lord first. The jar of flour will be not used up and the jug of oil will not run dry. Have faith in me, God says to moms, who give and give and give and give, who wonder if they have more to give. God says, I'll give to you so you may continue to give to the children and to me. That's what God says to moms. I think of Anita. Great example of hospitality.
Oh, amen.
People in her home all the time. I mean, I think she has a Bible in her hand, even when she goes on her bicycle, I think she has a Bible in her hand. The God's at the center of her life. And you look at Maggie and Katie and the love that she has for them. I think of Jan, who our daughter's having a tough time. She took her into her house this week. You know, she's going through a tough time. And next week, she's going to go take care of Kate. She's going to spend 2 weeks taking care of the grandkids. And she got a call, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning this week. Her son's in the hospital. She's up worrying about him because she's a great mom. God hears the cries of moms, not just of little kids, but moms of adult kids. I thought when your kids left the home that your parenting job was done. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
So the widow's son dies. She's bitter towards God. Can you blame her? And towards Elijah. She says to Elijah, what do you have against me, God? Why are you afflicting me in this way? She's tempted to not trust in God. But in the end, of course, she did trust God. And Elijah says to her, as God says to all moms out there, give me your son. Give me your daughter. Give me Matt. Give me Maggie. Give me Katie. Give me Ben. Give me Elizabeth. Give me Kate. The Lord heard Elijah's cry for the widow Zarephath. Look, your son is alive. Pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were a lot of tears. Elijah carries the son down and gives her back. Because when moms give their child to God, God gives the child back to mom. Because that's just the way it works. Right? And then there's the Shunammite woman. How about this? Zarephath and Shunam. Some weird names of towns. God hears the prayers of moms, especially of widows and single mothers. I wish Tiani could be here. I really do.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Shunammite woman, 2 Kings 4. The Shunammite woman. They call her Shunammite because she's from Shunam. Make sense?
Sure.
2 Corinthians 4. 2 Kings, yeah, thank you. 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17. This is quite a story.
Yeah.
Quite a story. Oops. All right. One day, Elisha, the disciple of Elijah, another prefigure of Christ. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there. So these two moms are the total opposite of the economic spectrum. The widow of Zarephath is destitute and poor and a widow. This woman is rich. She's got a husband. Everything's going for her. But God loves equally. It's interesting. Well, the woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof, put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. So that's why Oscar and Giselle got a 4-bedroom house, because they want people to stay over at their house, you know. I don't know if, you know, some miracle worker is going to stop by, but we'll see. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room. lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son, and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. Then Elisha said, about this time next year, you'll hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha told her. The child grew, and one day, I'll stop there. The Shunammite woman has no son, but she's a woman of God, and she lets the man of God into her home in her Elisha room. God hears the cries not only of widows, but also of motherless women, and he gives her a son. About this next time next year, you will hold your son in your arms. Blessed words to any mother. For sure. Verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, my head. I think he had an aneurysm. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. Then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Because he wasn't staying at her house at this time, so she had to go to Carmel. I don't know how far that was. Why go to him today, he asked. Is not the new it's not the new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she said. So she saddled the donkey. She said to her servant, lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Earlier, when he asked what she wanted, she said, oh, nothing, I'm fine, I'm good. Very, very humble. And God gives her a son, but then the son dies. That's pretty tough. But in faith, the woman carries him up and lays him on the bed in Elisha's room because she knew what could happen. She didn't tell anybody her plan, not even her husband. You know why? Because they'd call her crazy. Excuse me. He's dead. Sorry. Too late. No, she had crazy faith. And it takes great faith sometimes. You know? Allison went through a time where one of her kids was in a really bad place. And had put up with a lot of stuff. I'm not going to go into details because that's not right. But Allison continued to have faith in God. And God's really turned it around. Amen. Now she has a grandkid who, that's a whole other story. Whole other story. So the Shunammite woman did what the widow of Zarephath did. She put her children in God's hands. She trusted God to take care of her son. So she travels all the way to Mount Carmel where Elisha lives. And he says, is everything all right? Reading in verse 27. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress. But the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. I'm feeling some emotion right now. How about you? Wow. Because there's nothing like a mother's love. There's nothing like it. Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But mom, she's like a mama bear, you know. She's going to take care of her kids. If you say, I'll do this, she says, no, you need to do more because this is my kid. Right? The child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. She said, I'm not leaving this house until you come with me and take care of my son. Yeah. Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff in the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy is not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he got in the bed, and he lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth the room and got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. This is an incredible scene. And the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi, and he said, call the Shunammite. And he did, and when she came, he said, take your son. Because, again, God says, give me your son. Give me your daughter. But then he says, here's your son. Here's your daughter. It always works that way. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. She took her son and went out. You know, the staff didn't work. Luckily, Shunammite woman was pretty dang stubborn. Says, I ain't leaving till you're going to come and help out my son. And he lay on the boy. He sneezed 7 times because that's what the love of a mother for a child is like. It's like the Shunammite woman. It's like the widow of Zarephath because God hears and answers mom's prayers especially. Kind of reminds me of Jesus. What a surprise. Because this miracle is like a foreshadow of the miracle that Jesus did in Luke 7. Luke 7. The widow of Nain. There's a real pattern here. Verse 11 through 15. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, kind of like Zarephath and kind of like Shunem. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Reminds me of what happened in John 11 where Jesus wept. Then he went up and he touched the bier they were carrying him on and the bearer stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wow. God hears the cries of mothers, of widows and single mothers. In all these stories, I see a couple things. I see the undying love of a mother. And I hear God hearing the faithful cries of mothers for their children. There's different kinds of love. There's the love of a sibling, a brother for a sister, sister for a brother. There's the love of a spouse. There's romantic love. There's the love of a child for his or her parent. There's love of country. There's love of friends. There's love of pizza. There's self-love. There's love for the lost, love for the poor. There's a grandparent's love for their grandchild, the love of a father for his child, and then there's the love of a mother for a child. Which of these is most like God's love for us? Well, that's easy. It's like the love of a mother. Don't get between a mother bear and her cub. Don't get between a mom and her child. A mother's love for a child is perhaps the best picture of God's love we have, other than, well, Jesus. So let's finish in Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, starting in verse 15. God's love is like a father's love, no doubt. That's there. And, you know, we could exaggerate the distinction between a father and a mother's love. We could, but it's hard to, given the specialness of mom's love. But so this is God speaking to Israel about his love for them. He said, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Could that ever happen? There are very, very rare cases where that actually happens. Very, very rare. Truly rare. But with God, impossible. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. This is God speaking to us as mother. All right? Now, I'm not into that mother goddess religion. That's not what we're talking about. This is the same God, right? Both qualities, right? Right? All right. I shouldn't even mention that. I'm sorry I did. All right. See, I've engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. A mom never forgets her children. She has deep compassion. She wants to hold them, to hug them, to kiss them. She wouldn't hesitate to give her life for a child. A mother's love is irrational love. And God loves us in that way. We're engraved in the palm of his hand. I'm not into tattoos, but it's kind of like that, sort of. All right, there it is. Kevin. Cain. Your mother will never forget you. Even on her deathbed, she's going to be thinking about you. Even on her deathbed. That's kind of like Jesus on the cross. He was thinking about you and he was thinking about me. God will never forget you. Lift up your eyes and look around. Look how the children gather around their moms because she cares for them. This is how God cares for you. As one of many children in this room, I say, thanks, Mom. That's our sermon. All right. So we have a song before the Lord's Supper. Oh, you're doing both, huh?
Yeah.
That happens sometimes, you know.
Come on, Tim.
He's doing the song and the Lord's Supper.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and sing Lead Me to Calvary.